I give myself away.
Manifest what he wants me to do.
Amen.
There's so many things. I'm just so happy to be back. Let me say
Amen.
That.
Amen. Have you back.
And walking in here early, it does something to you.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
It really does something to you. It makes you appreciate the sanctuary of this house.
Amen.
And I don't know, I can't think of everything, but Pastor, you're serving on Sunday. I was feeling them rocks. They were hitting me, but they hit me because I was supposed to hear it.
Right.
And what I also heard is, it's him that brought me here.
Right.
It wasn't my time.
Amen.
And so whatever I need to get rid of,
he'll get rid of it. Amen.
Time.
That's right.
But all I'm going to do is keep coming and listening to the word and believing
this
word.
Keep
and I'm just so happy to be home. I thought that was home. This is my home, and
Amen.
I'm so happy to
Amen.
See
Amen.
You.
God bless you, Samuel.
Amen. Yeah.
James Sandra.
Pastor, I'd mentioned that how Brother Branham needed a pastor.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Just to keep his spirit checking.
Right.
And then I thought, well, that's why Paul needed Barnabas and he needed Silas to keep his spirit in check. You know, we all need that.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you go back to Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another.
Mm-hmm.
If Brother Branham and the Apostle Paul need people to keep them in check, how much more does every one of us need the rest of the body to keep us in check?
Amen.
Yet we may be, you know, Gentiles who approach God individually, but we're also a body.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important that we need to keep that balance so we're not over relying on one or the other.
Right.
And I think we get that here. But it just struck me because I never thought of Paul that way until Pastor had mentioned it. It's like, well, yeah, the man who wrote half of the New Testament needed people to keep him in check.
Sure.
Amen. God bless you, Brother right. James.
Amen.
Sister Sandra?
I just want to say I'm grateful to be here. Amen. I am so grateful that God talks to me. I am so grateful for the silence God gives me when he speaks. And I'm grateful for that because that lets me stop. And if God doesn't answer me again, doesn't matter where God's coming, whether it's the pastor, whether it's my husband, doesn't matter where it's coming from, but that silence. Be still and know that I'm God. How can I know what God is saying if I don't pay attention and stop? And that fills me so full because he's dealing with me. He's correcting me. And I love that. I love that I have the ear to hear. And I love that I've been told that until God gives you another revelation that has to dovetail to the word, stand on the one you have and he will provide. And you know, that love for humanity. And I don't really know what that is supposed to look like. But what I can tell you is there was a song that I was taught a long time ago. And it was mentioned in a sermon. And I don't know if y'all know it, but it's called Kumbaya. And it means come by here, Lord. And I learned it a long, long time ago. And what struck me about it is they're asking for God, the unseen God, because they don't know that God is everywhere. They don't know that God is right there. And I'm grateful enough to know that he is everywhere. He's in all the storms. He's in all the rainbows and the good days. And he's there for me and everyone around me. And that is the most blessed thing ever. And I feel for those people that sing that song because they want to see God. But either they don't have it in them to be able to, or they don't know what they're looking at. And I am just so grateful for correction. And I am thankful to turn around and to know that even when I'm wrong, that all I have to do is turn around. And I'm grateful to see each and every one of you here because that uplifts me every time because it is one body and we do have to stick together. And I'm learning to listen to God the first time. The first time.
Amen. Sister Elise?
Happy to be here. You know, I have a lot on my heart. I want to take some time, you know, to think about it. Sometimes you get nervous and you just start spouting off. I just want to take some time. Say what I want to say, you know. I really enjoyed Sunday's message and Sunday's Bible study, you know, to know what we know. I've always known these things, but I just, because Brother Moore taught me, you know. And it's fun to see it in the Bible, and it's fun to see it in, you know, the quotes and stuff, and, you know, I'm just so blessed to have that, you know. The other thing is, I was thinking about Sunday's message, and go home and clean your house, right? And it's so simple, but it's not just about the house, you know. It's that dynamic, you know. There's something in that house.
Right.
You know, you're living there.
That's right.
And just to know these things, you know, to have that in you. And I was thinking about that song, I Give Myself Away. I used to, when you talk about progression, when I first saw that God was in man, I saw it in Brother Moore and Brother Childers, you know, and then saw it in my parents and I saw it in different people. And then, you know, when I saw it in me, that was something special, you know.
Amen. Right.
And I was just thinking about the progression.
Amen.
You know, I used to say, this is the number one thing in my life. This is my life.
Right.
It's
yeah.
not the number one thing. It is my entire life. And
right.
I live my life for God, and whatever he wants from me, he can have. I like I say, I open my hands and whatever he wants. You know, and I just thank God that he put that in me.
Amen.
You know, and I also want to say how much I love my husband. You know, I think about these things sometimes, and if you overcome, right? And I love my husband so much. But when I first started saying that, you know, it was something that I did to like bring it forth, you know?
Right.
And you, like you, your testimony, and I mm-hmm. adore my husband so much. Like, if you have any doubts, have no doubts. You know, when I first got married, I was a child. You know what I mean? And brought me so far, and I thank God for him. I think we're walking and talking, you know, to have somebody who you can talk about this with, who puts you right. You know, sometimes it's such a blessing. I was thinking about that, how blessed my life is. And I just wanted to take some time and thank God for what he's done for me. Amen. That's why I'm here, you know? Amen. It is so easy. I don't have to go to the cross. I'm not being crucified. I just have to give God what he wants from me. It's so, so simple. And then you see people who don't understand it. They're just so close. They just can't get it. And you're like, I feel for you, but I know where I'm at.
Right. Amen. God bless us, at least.
Amen.
Amen. Couple announcements. Yes.
Go ahead. I feel you're ready to get ready to preach, but I want to pass by real quick.
He brought his Bible with him.
But I'm going to do it real quick. My dad, every once in a while, put a quote on Facebook, and he put one out there today. It was just a sentence, and it caught my attention. I thought, I got to look that up. And I thought I'd read it because it kind of it blessed me. It will be real short here. This is from a man running from the presence of the Lord, and I think this will bless you. There's no way of getting out of it. When God ever takes out after you, you just might as well give up and go on. That's all. Remember God. Well, God was in the boat. God was in the storm. God was in the fish. Everywhere he turned, God was there. And he goes on talking about it. But I thought about that quote coming here today. I thought, you know, I thank God he wanted me. You know, I want him.
Right.
But he wants me.
Right.
It was both ways, you know. He was able to predestinate by his foreknowledge because he saw that I wanted him.
Amen.
But I love him because he first loved me.
Right.
And it works both ways. And you know, correction, or and it isn't always correction, just the word, the pat on the back, whatever way he's coming at you, it's because he loves you.
Amen.
And he wants you, and you're his bride, and you're one with him, you know.
Amen.
Sometimes you say it, and it almost sounds like you're separating yourself, but it's just because God did create us. There is a difference in that sense, but that very life of God's inside of me.
Amen.
And that God has watched over me. He's watched everywhere I went. He's watched me before I was born again. He made sure I couldn't be killed before I was born again. And then he got me to, he gave me the dynamics to quicken that seed on the inside of me to where there's dynamics in my life. And now he just keeps wanting to deal with me, and I love him back. And that's really a lot of ways. That's another simple way I like to describe the difference between the mechanics and the dynamics. You know, my wife was just saying it starts off with mechanics. I love my husband. I love my husband. That's very, you got to start somewhere.
Right.
You got to have those mechanics.
Amen.
But oh my, when those dynamics come on those mechanics, it don't just become mechanics. It's a life behind it. It's a love affair behind it.
Yeah.
And that's what I want with God.
Amen.
I don't want to do, you know, I can start with mechanics. Don't get me wrong, but I want the dynamics. Because if all I have is the mechanics, eventually it will run out.
Right.
Eventually I won't go anywhere. It's good. You got to have them, but I need the dynamics on the mechanics so I actually can move and do it by nature versus trying to do it by intellect.
Yeah.
But I just like that quote because, you know, I think we've all been Jonah in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
I'll speak for myself.
Yeah, yeah,
I've ran.
Absolutely.
Ran from preaching, ran from this, run from that.
Right.
But I thank God he didn't give up on me.
Right.
He had ways of helping me.
Yeah.
He didn't even force me. He just had ways of helping me.
Right, amen.
Put a fish in my way. Put a job circumstance in my way. Put whatever in my way. But he's always been right there, brother.
Amen. Lord,
with me everywhere I've gone, all the way till now. I can see that he's right on the inside of me.
Amen.
It's good to be here. Looking forward to the preaching.
Yes.
Amen.
Well.
Amen. Well, he tried to give him a testimony, but not quite.
He almost did.
Because it didn't come from me.
You gotta have it for yourself.
But, you know, I was sitting here just thinking how that. You know, I was talking to Brother Jim outside, or. Thinking on the way over here, I don't know which, but you know the knowledge ain't it. The understanding. I've been here 45 years.
Yeah.
Sure, I know a lot. I've heard a lot of preaching.
Right.
You know, and I didn't sleep through the service. You know, and God has had to, you know, enough. I've taken in enough that He can tie it together.
Sure, yeah, sure.
But you know, I come here like a newborn babe, like
absolutely.
A young bird with his mouth open, just so needful.
Amen.
Of what God has for me.
Yes.
It's not you get to a place and you're set. No. I'm needing him every hour, every day of my life. I need him.
Amen.
I look at myself, you know, if I look too much from this side, you ain't done nothing. You ain't got nowhere. You don't know nothing. You fail all the time. But I look through the eyes of the Word.
Right.
Amen.
And I do have a few things I understand.
Absolutely.
And a few things the devil can no way get
Quite
me
sure.
off of.
Sure.
You know, I know who I am.
Amen.
I've recognized my day in this message.
Yes.
I don't care how you slice it. I don't care what you call it, you know, seals or token or quickening or whatever. It's God.
Yeah.
I know Him. It's not just scriptures, knowing scriptures and knowing how they tie. It's
Amen.
It's the scripture in me. It's the
yes.
teacher. It's the Holy Spirit that ties those scriptures together for me. It takes
Spirit
of mine. It shows it unto me. And that's the thing that I have.
Right.
That's
yeah.
the thing I'm thankful for.
Right.
And that's the thing that I rejoice
Amen.
In all the time.
Right.
You know, I can take and run scriptures and got so much memorized and heard quotes so many times. I should have them memorized by now. But that's not it. Don't go after that.
It's not enough.
If God reveals something to you, thank God for it. There's
right.
a purpose for it, a reason for it. And it'll help you through a lot of snares down the road, maybe.
That's
but,
right.
But the thing is, you know, that life within me. And that's what I appreciate so much, because that's what I rely on every day of my life. And that's what leads me. That's what calls me. That's what calls to me. That's what
Amen.
Convicts me.
Right.
You know, that's what tells me there's no condemnation. That's what tells me, yeah, you need to move. No, don't worry about that. You know, and I'm thankful for that, because you learn it after a while. You learn His voice.
Amen.
It's like being married, you know, like she was talking. You know, you repeat a few things because it's the buzzword of the day. You know, you're supposed to say those things, and it's good. You confess it first. Always
right.
comes through confession. That's where faith starts. Step out on it with a confession. But when He brings it to pass in your life, when He gives you that understanding, when He gives you that anchor that you know is never going to move,
Amen.
No matter what,
right.
and He gives you that love for the truth, that love for Him. You know, I used to say a lot more about, you know, love for the truth, love for the truth. But anymore, I've got a love for Him.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little more personal.
Right.
It's a little more real.
Right.
And that's what keeps me coming back. You know, and I think, was it my child?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my own problems,
right.
but Lord, that's something that, you know, unless God moves.
Yeah.
And we believe and we trust, and, you know, and my wife asked me if I read the little writing that she put out today, that Sister Tina put out, and I say, I read some of it. I didn't read too much of it. But that only thing destroyed my faith.
Right.
Because it's just Him and me.
Right.
Now.
Yeah.
I don't need what science says. I don't need what the doctors say.
Nope.
I don't need all their prognosis.
Right.
I know He's real.
Right.
And I know He can move.
Yes.
I know He anoints of faith.
Right.
Right. Amen.
And that's what I want to hold to more than anything.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So true.
I sing, I need Thee.
Mm-hmm.
I need Thee.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was the last one.
Yeah.
Sorry. I need Thee. Lord, I need Thee.
Page 99.
I think 98. I know. I need Thee, Lord, I need
Hallelujah,
Thee.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
95, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Key of G.
Praise.
I need Thee, oh, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee so.
let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come tonight expecting you to move. Lord, we come not with any thoughts or traditions, but with an open heart, open mind, giving ourselves to you. The sister said it best. She says, you're not number one, you are my life. Lord, and we know that when the word is present, all things are possible. Lord, we come to you as a waiting bride with expectations that you not only move on the surface, that you move on the prayer requests, that you move on the healings that we're speaking. Lord, the brother said he didn't need to read because he understands that when we pray as believers. Lord, we're standing on your promises because you're real. All the signs can fade away, but your words. Lord, bless the service. Bless the hearing of the speaker. Help us to get out of the way and have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, got a couple announcements. September the 16th, we're going to be at the Brinkman's. We're going to have a bonfire there. September the 25th, we got church pictures. Pastor Morris said, do not be late. So please don't be late. I'd hate for you to miss the picture and be in that same service. It'd be embarrassing. And then also, in the back, they have the sign up for the rooms. Get the money to them as soon as possible. They've already sent the payment off. So I like to hand it over when I have it in my hand, kind of thing. But otherwise, you'll spend it on something else. So when you get the money, give it to Brother John for your room and stuff. And then October the 15th, 16th, we're going to South Carolina for those that have signed up. So we got that. And then November the 20th, we got Thanksgiving at the church. So that's the announcements there. Brother John, we covered everything. I think we're good. Okay, we can get started. And I was sitting over there as service was getting ready to start, and I was just getting more and more nervous, and I was just getting more and more nervous for really no reason, because I can't do anything. I can't make him show up. I can't lead the service. I can't do, you know. And so I was sitting there, and then the nerves was just bothering me so much that I couldn't even play the song. I'm like, well, this is silly to sit over here now. But I sit over there to get ready and not be nervous, but if I'm messing up on all the songs, I just go ahead and stop. And I was like, I got to do something, so I'm going to get up here and sing a little bit. I wasn't trying to rush you guys too much. I'm going to try to be like that that wheel that's in the front of buildings, that's on a rotation. And so you can step into it, but it's going to push you along the way. It's going to just keep pushing you along. So that's how it was. But I'm glad to be here tonight. You know, I appreciate the testimonies. I appreciate what God's just been doing for us. You know, and you know, Pastor Moore preached on the dynamics this Sunday, and it was a beautiful message. You know, we were all there. Everybody that had a chance to listen to it. My daughter says when things get a little hot, she says it gets spicy. That's spicy, Dad. Not necessarily food hot. Like if he sees an argument a brewing or some disagreements going on, this is, oh, that's gonna be a little spicy. I'd like to say that Sunday was a little spicy for me. A little spicy. God was shaking us a little bit. You know, and as a believer, I get enthused when I can make it through those. You know why? Because there's some people that can't. That's why I get excited. I go, well, as weak as I am, as confused as I am, he didn't sweep me out. He just cleaned me up. You know, and I like how Pastor Moore even said it. He said, you know, the unbeliever, they'll just be preached right out. Make-believer got to be pushed on out. And the believer, you're just cleaning us up, you know. And so I'm a believer. So when I hear the word, the dynamic, I understand that you have to have a revelation to even have that. You know, it takes God to reveal that to you. So when you look at it, you know, even Sister Elise, she said it best. She was like, you know, I saw God in the ministry. That was good. That gives you something to rejoice about a little bit, but that can fade. The ministry can mess you up. You can look too close at a man, whatever. That can be temporal. Then you say, I saw God in my parents. That can still fade. That can still be temporal. That's something that you don't know if God is really there. You see some God-like qualities. You see some Christian-like things. But that's still not enough to make you secure. That's not infallible is what I'm getting at. When it gets revelation on you, then it doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you hear. You've got a revelation for yourself, and nobody can shake that. That's the dynamics. Now, the mechanics is that you get the word had to be restored, so to speak. That's even what Brother Branham said. The word had to be restored. Things has got to be restored in your life. You got to be in the right situation for the word to come in there and move in there and give you that revelation. But once it moves in there, now you can start calling it all things you want to call it.
I can call it the dynamics that stepped out on it. I can call it a wrestling and a win. I can call it a token. I can call it all those kind of things. But when it becomes a real revelation, then nobody can shake you on it. Even when they start throwing the terms that you may not understand, you can't shake me on my revelation. If they go so deep in the scripture that's too far for you to see, they cannot shake you on your revelation. Because if you have a revelation, nobody can take it away from you. You say, Brother Jay, why can't you say it like that? Because if you get a revelation, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. God himself gave you that revelation, and that's what you should stand on no matter when your mind wants to go, no matter what attitudes you want to get. You stand on that revelation that God is speaking to you. And if you believe it's God talking to you, then it changes everything. So I got a quote here. Got this from the Seven Church Age books. I appreciate the church giving us these. When I was young and didn't appreciate it, we had hundreds of them. Now we've got 20s of them. It's a little different. So I'm learning to appreciate it in here. So I'm going to read this quote, and then I'm going to read a scripture, and we'll dive in here. So this is Brother Branham, and he says this. He says, he's over here in paragraph 13. He says, the importance of revelation by the spirit of a true believer can never be overemphasized. Now that's one of the only things that's italicized on this whole page. He's making sure that's even more important. He wants you to get that. I'm going to read it one more time and then we're going to go on. The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. No, I'm not talking about this book of Revelation to you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Now he goes over and references Matthew, and I'm going to read that as well. Matthew 16, verse 15 through 18. And this is Jesus here talking to Simon Peter, and he saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Right. In verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we understand that to know that it was the rock of revelation that he was building this church on. Amen. But I thought about that. I thought, you know, we come in here and say, you got to get this. You got to get this. You got to get this. But you can't get it. But what you can control, we want to see you control it. It's a free moral agency. Right. You have a choice to put your priorities how you want to put your priorities. Amen. You have a choice on how you're going to express, how you're going to love, how you're going to open. Those are things that you have a choice of the matter. Right. So when God comes and tells you to straighten up, he's helping you to get the right atmosphere. Amen. That this thing can move in there and just do what it needs to do. Even Brother Branham said a crying baby can mess up the service. Yeah. Now this is somebody, one of the most vindicated prophets since Isaiah. I mean, he came through and did this, and he's able to preach, able to heal, able to do those things, and you're going, Brother Branham, you can still be distracted? Yes! Oh, yeah. Right. You can still cause a distraction, because so many times we come in here and we get the Word of God and we want to use, I love how Brother Seth even said it, you know, that grace card. I can do this, I can do whatever I want, I can do it. You can do whatever God tells you to do. That's what you can do. You can do it. And if you were going to be a law about anything, it should be getting to the house. Because that's the only place you're going to get your help. When you're sitting at home, you can't get the help. Because that free moral agency will have you sitting there thinking you got enough to make it for the journey. That's why I'm glad our brother, our deacon, our elder, was able to give a testimony and said he's ever learning. He's been preached to all this time and he's still ever learning. If you're not there, don't even tell me that you got it all. And that's why even Pastor Moore could say it. He could say, until you've been a pastor for 40 years, then I might. That's when you're in the room to even possibly be considered to give your opinion. Right. You come in here and you see all these blessings flowing. Right. Do what that person's doing. Right. You know, I worry about a lot of things, and then I got to start looking at my examples on how they do it. I look at my examples and go, how do you prioritize your family? How do you prioritize church? How do you prioritize your kids? How do you... And if you want to have it right, there's plenty of examples in here. There's example after example on how to raise your kids. You can take it or you can leave it. You know, and the sister mentioned that. And I'm going to get you back to another scripture here. But the sister mentioned that, you know, clean your house. God said that. And for some people, it was mean literally go home and clean your actual house. because it was dirty. There's some other people that God said it to, their actual house that they live in probably wasn't dirty, but they had some other things they had to clean up. So when God speaks the word, He's talking to all of us. Amen. See, so often you come in here and go, that don't apply to me. I'm going to let that sit. It all applies to you. Amen. That's why you're here in this service. If it wasn't for you, you wouldn't be here. But praise God that you made it to the service so that that you're going to take every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And when you come here, we expect to hear from God. Amen. Oh, why do I expect to hear it? Because we have come as far as we could come in the written word. We've come as far as I can go in just reading the Bible. I need something else that's going to get the job done. What is that? I need a spoken word. But who's qualified to speak the word in this hour? Because through the ages, God was obligated to vindicate or quicken or give the dynamics to as much word as was allotted in each age. But when it comes to the Son of Man ministry, God in flesh, it has to be 100% truth. It has to be all truth. There's no room for ignorance now. Why? The person that was sitting on that mercy seat has stepped down into me. That means there's no room for ignorance now, Brother Don. You cannot be ignorant in this hour. You can't come here and say we didn't tell you. You can't come here and say that the line hasn't been drawn. You can't come here and think that you can keep your tradition. You've got to put away all those traditions to be able to pick up the full word of God. They always say you don't want no leaven in this bread. See, church folks like to play with God. I'm going to preach for a second. They like to play with God. They come in here and think this is just church normal. This ain't your Baptist, bub. This ain't the Methodist. When you come in here, you're talking to God. When you come in here, you're dealing with God. Let's read a scripture. Let's read a scripture. As I start reading it, those that have read their Bible a lot will know. And the rest of you guys will find out how I found out as I was reading along. I appreciate the church getting me this Bible. I've been using it. Acts chapter 4, verse 30, 35. Then we'll go to verse chapter 5. And stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, this is a group of people, they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This sounds like a good time. Everybody's happy. Neither was there any among them who lacked. So they're successful as well. For as many was the possessors of lands, houses, sold them and brought, and the price of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distributions were made unto every man according to as he had need. They were sharing. That sounds like a good time. So as they were bringing these sacrifices to the apostles, just laying it down, this wasn't a poor group of people giving the last bit of bread. These are the wealthy. They had lots of things to give. Amen. Chapter 5. Now I'm going to get to the words you guys remember. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought up a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So if you're tracking, they're lying to the apostles about how much money they had. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So he was saying, you're not lying to me. I don't care. This was yours to do whatever you wanted. You could have brought whatever you wanted. You could have said whatever you wanted to give. You didn't have to lie about it. And he goes over here to verse 7. So eventually what happens to Ananias? He lies. They call him out on his lie, and he dies. His wife wasn't with him at that time. So she comes strolling in. And this is verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now Peter, you're going to give her a chance. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold land for so much. And she said, yep. That's so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. Now, this ain't something to play with, like Brother Lockett said. When you come in here, you're not lying to me. You're lying to God. Just ask what you will. You don't have to lie to God in here. You know, there's a story even with David. When David was taking Bathsheba, the prophet said, had you just asked me, that would have been yours. Amen. What I'm getting at, saints, is in here you don't have to lie about who you are and what you're giving to God. Just be honest. Amen. That way God can help you. That way God can show you the way. But if you're lying, that's another spirit in the way of setting that perfect atmosphere. Right. When you come in here and you say you want to be open, just be open. When God asks you to do something, just say you're going to do it. Yeah. But this, when you come in here to lie to the Holy Spirit, you're not lying to a man. No. And the part of that makes so much sense, not even on that side, because that's a little bit, that'll put you in like bondage kind of thinking. I'm saying that as much as you're telling the truth to God or lying to God, that's the same God that's going to help you out. That's the same God that knows all your faults, that knows your thoughts afar off, that knows your spirit, that can help you. That same God that can convict you is the same God that can save you. Amen. Just as much as you got to see God when you're talking to him about something bad, you got to see him when you're talking to something good. Right. Because if you see man, that's going to get in the way of you getting the answer from God. Because if I've got to be good to give you advice, there's none good but God. If I've got to be good to be able to tell you to step up, you know, it's almost like this. We're working on some house, working on a project. We had one plumber come by, and he messed up. We couldn't flush the toilet. Now, I'm not a plumber. Never did any class at all. But I do know that if you hit the handle, the toilet should flush. He goes to tell me that I'm not a plumber. I'm like, I get it, but it's not working. Well, did you try? Did you try? What do you mean, did I try? There's only one handle to push for my part. Did you try? Did you do? But it makes it a contentious moment, right? It made it a little sketchy, a little spicy, so to speak. But that's how it is when you come in here and try to talk back to God. You come in here thinking you know the way, know what's going on, know all these things. Just sit down. Let God talk to you and tell you what it is. Don't offer any rebuke. Don't offer any rebuttal. Just sit here. Even if it hurts you, just say, it ain't nothing but the truth. If you need to say that in the beginning till you learn how to grease those wheels, just keep saying it as quick as you possibly can. It ain't nothing but the truth. You know, we were taught by the very best, Brother Earl Childers. You know what he would say? Give me 1 second. Give me 1 minute. I'll turn around. Yeah. If I'm wrong, I'll turn around. The bride will turn quickly to the word. Amen. And I thought about that. I thought, man, we've had other examples. We had great examples. But one of the best examples I could think of about how to help you to deal with God when God's dealing with you is look at Pastor Moore as an example. Uh-huh. Pastor Moore came in here. He was led by God. He came in here and just wanted to give a testimony. God was leading him to give a testimony. Then he came in here and was just a great follower, helping Brother Childers. God put it on his heart that Brother Childers needs some help. Amen. He helped him out. Just stepped out on the word of God and just did it. And just did it. Amen. Just did it. He didn't need no approval from anybody else. Wasn't talking to anybody else. Didn't care what anybody else thought about him. When God put that on his heart, he just stepped out on it. Just did it. Now we're blessed to be led by that man. So that way we have no excuse. Zero excuse to offer a question, to offer a rebuttal. You're best to just shut up and just enjoy the ride. He knows where he's going. But even in that, I thought, my goodness, that's a great example. But how did Pastor Moore show you, Brother Jay, how to not let distractions get in your way? When Pastor Moore was going through a church split, no distractions got in his way. Stayed solid. When he faced questionable situations, he go, oh, what's that, Brother Jay? Oh, one that all of us had to think about. When he was dealing with, when he was about to get married, Sister Sandy. Come on now, we was all there. What did he do? See, that's why I like to go back to the example of what did he do? He stayed on the Word of God. When God led him to the Word of God, he stayed right there. Even Brother Childers said, he'll get it. Don't worry about it. Brother Childers had trained him, had told him, had taught him. He did nothing but what Brother Childers would have did in that same situation. He's not going to step out on until God steps out on it. When God stepped out on it, you know what? Keep on moving forward. That was just an example of just staying with the Word. No distractions, no this, no that. Just staying with the Word. Sometimes we get too distracted. We're looking at this, we're looking at that, we're looking at your life, we're looking at this. None of us are good. None of us are good. And I don't want you to be satisfied until you wake in his likeness. Amen. See, that's Bible. See, you keep pushing. If you're still here, you still got work to do. You know, I think about that and I go, my goodness, we come to this church. We get preached so much. Here's why I say we get preached so much. Because in this hour, all the word has been revealed. That's what happened when the seals were open. It revealed the entire word of God. It took away every mystery. It should take away every mystery. If you've taken the seal off, you should now be able to see what it is. That's just simple common sense. The seal has been opened, and now we can see what it is, and it's full word in this hour. When it's full word in this hour, that means all things are possible. When it's full word on the scene, you've got resurrection power on the scene. So when I say what is our job, when you get a revelation to the dynamics that this is the eighth day, that this is a token message, that this is the end time message, see, I can throw any term in there I want. I know what it is. When you get to that day, it's no longer like the other days. When you get to this day, the only job is a rapturing time. It takes rapturing faith to be able to pick up this message. Because anything else, you're going to be in a part truth. You're going to be in a part message, and you're going to be doing the wrong job. It's no longer a time that we need the ark built. It's no longer a time that I need you to walk on water. It's no longer a time to worry about the showbread. It's rapturing time. It's time for us to raise the body up. That's why we're required to know this. That's why you're expected to understand this, is because you got to do a job nobody else had to do. This job's not even able to be done without the full word on the scene. You're going to talk about the dynamics. The dynamics quickens the word that's on the scene. It wakes it up. It brings it to life. If you don't have the full word, you're not going to wake everybody up. You won't even know who to get up. But when you've got the full word opened up and restored, you get a revelation of who you are. It ties you right into that body. Yes, see, Jesus had his job to do. And we have our job to do. I love it like this. I love it when it's simple. Because unless you see God in flesh, unless you really see it. Now, in the past, through the ages, the word was so messed up, they weren't able to say that statement. But there were two times they were able to say that statement. When Jesus was here, he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Also, since I know the author, he said, unless you see God in flesh, you have no part in you. He can say that then, and we can say that now. That unless you see God here, and you got to see, when you see God here, that's how you now have access to see God in you. You can't come in here telling me that you got God in you and you don't recognize him in me, because you need me to get God. I'm a son of man revealing the son of man. The goal is for you to get it. But if you come in here thinking you got it, I'll take whatever little bit of God you think you got. How can you get it received if it hasn't been preached to you? You tell me how you got it without a preacher. Tell me how you got an understanding without somebody revealing it to you. Tell me how you knew it was open without somebody opening it for you. You got to have a preacher. You know, even Pastor Moore, you're talking about the prophet having a preacher. We all need a preacher. We all need leadership. That's what a preacher does. It gives you leadership. Everybody needs a leader. You know, we're doing all these things, and the more things I go through, the more I see how Pastor Moore operates is just... it just takes a lot of headache out. It does. He's a planner. He's got steps. He's got it all wrote down. And then he counsels with people to get the right idea. I mean, he's just a real good guy about that. I don't do it so much. I'll have that up here, and I don't counsel, and I just go, and I got to do stuff. We figure it out, though. But in all that, you got to have a leader, though. You know, I still have to have a leader. As much as I think I can do stuff, I still got a leader. I still got somebody I got to follow. Whenever you don't think you need to follow somebody, that's when problems can start to happen. You know, because when you get a revelation that you're tied into this thing, it does change your whole life. I can't push this revelation on you to change your life, but I do know a couple of good habits to have. Is that if you put this thing, it has to start off at first place before you can make it your life. It has to start off that this is a priority, a sense of obligation, a little bit of a duty for your brothers and sisters. You know, and that's why it's even important to call them brothers and sisters. I know you gave us that revelation on that years ago, Pastor Moore. And it's just a good to remember. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. I love my brothers and sisters. I want to see them do great. And the thing about it is that I get in here and I go through the book and I look at all these things. I see the quotes. I see this. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I wouldn't understand one scripture. I wouldn't understand one quote if God didn't break it down for me. So we're blessed to come into a church that not only sets the bar, but helps you to get there. You know, I love it that God's never pushing us out of here. God is always just helping us along the way. Everything we get, even, you know, you talk about even getting a rebuke, so to speak. Even if you just get corrected, all it does is prove. The fact that you can hear that is correction, it proves. It proves that you're a son and God, daughter of God. That's why I said I could get a little bit excited even when I hear it. I go, wait a minute, God's still talking to me. See, we even want to say, you're this, you're that. But wait a minute, God's still dealing with me. I'm still here, Satan. I still have something to do. So now when you start thinking like that, wake up your pure mind, you go, oh, I'm fully persuaded that not even death, nor principalities, not things present or things to come, shall be able to separate me from the love of God. See, when you're going through something, it can be grievous a little bit. You need to hold to that, to God's unchanging hand. Because we've been so many examples of time after time of God vindicating himself in all of our lives. I can look through the whole church. God has vindicated himself. Every one of us. Amen. By your own testimony. Amen. By your own testimony, God's vindicated himself. So, if that's been the case, what are you holding back for then? Amen. If we've all just yelled that God has been vindicating in each one of our lives, that we came here and we've seen God face to face, then what are you holding back for? What are you holding on to? Let me read this quote. Because the thing about it is we are striving to perfection. You know, mediocrity is not allowed. You know, that's the goal. So if that's not your goal, I'm sorry. That's all we're pushing towards. We're striving to be perfect. I'm striving to be perfect in all three. That's my goal. Right now, I'm only perfect in one. That's not a passing grade. I'm trying to get out of here. So over in things that are to be. He said, now, in this paragraph 32, sorry. Now then, if it was Jesus was the fullness of God manifested, he was the fullness in the Godhead bodily. Therefore, when he came to the earth and was manifested in flesh, you were here in him then, because he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh, therefore you walked with him when you were in him when he was on earth. I'm going somewhere. Hold on with me. You suffered with him and you died with him. You was buried with him and now you're risen with him and manifested attributes of God, setting in heavenly places, already raised, resurrected to new life and setting in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Oh, that means so much nowadays, church. That means so much to us to see ourselves positionally placed in Jesus Christ. See, this is where I want to get down to. Now, if we were those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. Because as much as we were in Christ when he had to do his job, he's in us when we got to do our job. So if we were those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the Word, because the bride is a part of the bridegroom, like any wife is part of her husband. Therefore, we must be that Word bride. And what is that Word bride? Not a creed, a denomination, but a living article of God, a living attribute of God displaying to the world the attributes of God and the formation of the bride that's to be expressed in this hour that we're now living. As much as Jesus was the fullness in that hour, because he was the Word and we were the Word, we were there. Brother Branham's saying you were in Jesus at that time, waiting to be manifested. But just like we were there with him, he's waiting with us. Amen. And since he resides here with us, there's no room for denomination. There's no room for creed. There's no room for error. There's nobody left to wink at this. It's full Word on the scene right now, just like it was then. Amen. And the only way you can pick that up is not flesh and blood can reveal it to you. It's not eyes and sights of man. It's not a book that I can read. To be able to pick up this Word that I'm speaking, you have to have God on the inside of you or you never hear it. And for that, I praise God. For my own revelation that I can see this for myself, that when I read through there, I see myself in the scriptures. I have a clear understanding of my day and its message. And what is that, Brother Jay? That's a new birth. That's a revelation. And you know what I'm holding to? God said, if you just get that thing to sit still one time, He'll burn out that old soul, and that new nature will start to flourish.
Amen.
See, don't make it to 100 services. It don't have to be 1,000 services. Just sit still for one time and let God do what He needs to do.
Right.
If God says to get here early just so you can get your mind together. So all you got to be is just ready for that just one time.
Right.
That's the kind of faith you should have. If you don't have, if you're not stirred like I'm stirred, say, Lord, give me that.
Yeah.
That's what you should come in here and desire. Don't look at the man. Don't look at my life. That doesn't matter. That'll all fade away. Look at my desire.
Yeah.
Look at what I do with the word.
That's right.
And that's what you can mimic. That's what you can practice. That's what you can work on.
Amen.
Those are good examples until it becomes a revelation to you. And then when that happens, now give me a testimony.
Amen.
Now tell me how it worked out. But until then, you're just Paul Perry. If you're still practicing, just keep practicing. It's okay. If you're still working it out, that's okay. Do what you got to do. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So there's still Bible. But until you have a testimony of actually overcoming, what is a testimony then? What are you telling me? That you didn't make it? I want to hear somebody that made it. I want you to tell me how you overcame. I want you to tell me how Satan couldn't stop you. I want somebody to stir up my mind by way of pure remembrance. Because once it becomes a revelation, you can hit it from any angle. Once it becomes a revelation, you can tell me how God talked to you in Kroger's. Once it becomes a revelation, you can tell me how God talked to you while you were driving to work. Once it becomes a revelation, you can tell me how you saw Him in a PTA meeting. Once it becomes a revelation, you see Him everywhere. You see Him everywhere. But if you just see Him in me, don't worry about it. Stay there. Hold to His unchanging hand. If God gave you that revelation, I just stay right there. That's right. That's what we do with our children. Stay right there under that leadership. Stay right up under there until you mature into this thing. Until you grow in this thing. Why? Because when you get a new birth, it's just like a baby being born. It's new. It's a new birth. You got to grow in the knowledge of the mystery. It's okay. I'm still growing. I have no shame admitting to you that. But I am growing, though. That's what I can tell you. If Satan tried to tell me that I ain't, I can look back to where I was. I can look back to where He brought me from. And then just that alone, you know how many testimonies that is? Oh, you know how much overcoming that is? Oh, that's what I rejoice in. It wasn't by me, anything that I could do that I could boast. I'm boasting that God's been loving me this whole time. And every time I wake up to a fact of it, I just fall in love with Him over and over again. This thing doesn't get old to me. You should check yourself if it's getting old to you. Figure out a way to get that fire stirred back up. That sister from Kentucky, she came here. She gave one of the realest testimonies people give. She said, Lord, I just want You to restore back. I want it to be better. I want to love my husband more than I do right now.
Amen.
She was like, that's a real prayer. That's somebody coming to God as a believer. That's how we, my goodness. And that sister was brand new. That sister hadn't been in church a long time. And now some of us, with the revelation that we got, with the preaching that we get, we've seen miracles, you've seen signs, you've seen wonders, and you got a revelation.
Amen.
What else are you asking for?
Amen.
What else do you want?
Amen.
God's given you everything you could ever ask for.
Yeah.
You're more than a conqueror because of this. The gift of eternal life is not even for you.
Come on.
It's for others.
Amen.
Oh, my. You need to wake up to the fact that you are the only God.
Yes.
See, when Jesus went on the scene, you was only going to see Jesus where He was at.
Right.
When He went to Samaria, you better be in Samaria.
Amen.
When He went to Egypt, Egypt. When He went, wherever He went, you need to be where He was at.
Amen.
That was the only God you were going to see.
Amen.
Jesus could say, I'm the only God
right.
that they're ever going to see. That same testimony, that same God is here right now.
Amen.
He's in a many-membered body.
Amen.
That's why it's okay if God tells you to step it up a little bit and conduct yourself a little better. You're a representative.
Right.
When Sister Sue went down to Kentucky, she didn't just do whatever she wanted to do. She was representing us.
Amen.
She didn't go out any old kind of way. She wasn't disrespectful. I'm just telling you, this, if she was our ambassador, that's an example of what we'd want an ambassador to do.
Right.
You're an ambassador for this church.
Amen.
You know, Pastor Moore, you said that story. I'm going to get down here in a second. You told that story about how you guys were on that trip, military trip, and got to about three or four days in, and this guy pulls out a big cross and goes to pray, and they're like, you go to church? They didn't even want the God that he served. They didn't want a God that you could put away like that. They wanted a God that's going to be on display. When your family comes and asks you for prayer, you know why? Because you got God on display. They're like, I know I probably can't get a hold of God, but let me get a hold of my cousin in Ohio. Let me see if they can pray for me. I know that she loves God. Why? How can they can't say that you love God? Why can't they recognize that you love God? And it don't mean carrying your Bible or seven church ages to work, but there should be just a love. That's even what the Bible says. By this all men should know. But how you have love for one another. It's got to be a love affair all the way across the board. And that's when you take your eyes off of flesh. That's when you don't see man and woman. I just see God. That's all I see. See, this thing is just right. This thing is just perfect. Pastor Moore, you're preaching about the dynamics. I thank God that I got the dynamics. I don't have just bread alone. He said you got to have meat and drink. I don't want just the mechanics. I'm glad we got them. I'm glad the word has been restored. But I need something to make that quicken. I need something to bring that alive. And God did that. He said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. When he's come, he's here now. Yeah. You know, there's times when they read the scripture, he said, I have need to say these things, but you can't bear it now. Right. No, that time's up. I can bear it now. You can speak plainly to me now. I can hear what you're saying now. You can just speak the words right into my ears, and I'll pick it up. Amen. What did he say the bride would do with the word? Did he say she'd go slowly? Did he say she'd walk? He said she'd turn quickly. Amen. That's why you can't be lackadaisical. That's why you can't drag your feet. You need to run this thing with patience. You need to run. You need to pick up the pace a little bit. And I love that God's doing that. You know, and that helps sometimes to just say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Just thank you. You know, Sister Elise, you said it right. Just thank you. That's a good way to start some things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. We're so spoiled. We are. You're spoiled. I'm spoiled. Pastor Moore has been good to us. He spoiled us. Now, that don't mean he don't whip us. I'll make sure I want that in the same sentence. Yeah, he whips us. But he loves us. And I love that God shows his love by keeping it balanced. That because, you know, you get off to one side or to the left, and you'll be looking at everybody wrong. And God's just keeping our eyes on the word. It doesn't matter if this or that comes. It just keep your eye on the word. Keep your eye on the word. That's the most important thing we have. We can never overemphasize it either. Brother Branham even said, we started off service that I can't overemphasize my revelation. If all we preach is the rapture till we get out of here, guess what? That's all we got. That's all we have. I don't have another message. I don't have another thought. There's nothing else that we are here to do. That's our job. That's how they're going to know who we are. Oh, that's the rapturing group right there. That's the group that got us up. Not the ones that worked at this place and worked at that place that had this kid or that kid. You won't even know kids. You'll be known by that message. I thank God for this place. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
I don't know what he titled it, but I titled it, The Vindicated God Amongst You. Because that's what you got. You don't just have God, you got a vindicated God. Just like when we had a prophet, we just didn't have a prophet. He was a vindicated prophet. And I loved what he said. I wrote that down. He said, we were in Christ. We were in him. Now it's him in us. I love that. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
You are the vindicated word of God.
Amen.
To this generation.
Amen.
They won't see any other God outside of you. They don't even know God outside of knowing you. They can't hear from God outside of hearing from you.
Right.
And the bride in the hour that we're living in, we have never had a time since the days of Alpha that we can stand up and really know who we are.
Amen.
Nobody else really knew who we were. And all the way down through the ages, they guessed and hoped. That's why Brother Branham said that was the Son of God age. Because it was an unseen force. It was still the force of God. And it was still God doing his thing. But it was an unseen force. Well, Son of Man is not an unseen force. It's a seen force. And you can see him. You can talk with him. You can eat with him. When Jesus was here, he was the Son of Man. They could break bread with him. They could eat fish with him. They could have the Sermon on the Mount. They could have church. They can walk on water. They can do all manner of things because the Son of Man was on the scene. Well, Brother Brown said the Son of Man is supposed to come again. The vindicated Son of Man is here now.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about William Branham.
No.
He was a vindicated prophet.
Right.
And he was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. But who are you?
Right.
You are a vindicated son and daughter of God.
Amen.
Vindicated by what? Vindicated by the prophet. Vindicated by the word of the hour.
Right.
Vindicated by the word of God. Jesus said, if you don't know who I am, search the scriptures.
Right.
If you don't know who I am, search the scriptures. Because
right.
These are they that testify and vindicate
yeah.
who we are.
Amen.
That's why you got to have the vindicated
Amen.
Word of God right amongst you. And that's what we have in this hour. And this bride knows who she is. Nobody else did. Down through the ages, they hoped and they prayed and they wished and they tarried and fasted and tried to get it and all that. But at the opening of the seals, when all the mysteries were done, the mystery of who you are is finished. We're not sitting here hoping we're going to be there. I know I'm going to be there. It's no longer a mystery about where God dwells. He dwells in his people. That's why the book of Revelation says the Spirit and the Bride say come. Because she's the vindicated word of God on the scene. And what she binds now gets bound. And what she looses gets loosed. We're not just church folk now. We're the vindicated word of God on the scene. Just like Jesus was the vindicated word of God. The bride is the vindicated word of God on the scene in this hour that we're living in right now. No other message, no other people, nobody else can do what this bride is going to do. All the way down through the ages, none of them had the chance to do what you're going to do. Oh, they've healed the sick. Oh, they'd walk across and their shadow would heal them. And they'd break up, tear up their apron and cut them up in prayer cloths and heal the sick and they gave their bodies to be burned and they sacrificed down through the ages and they did all this, but at the end of every one of them was death. They all died. But there's a group of people now who will not have to die. You say, what if you die tomorrow? Then I'll get up when you get me up. But we are the people that every age longed for.
Amen.
To know what we know, to know who we are, to know we are the vindicated word of God on the scene, ordained to get the dead up.
Right.
Nobody else knew that that was their job.
No.
Amen.
And we know.
Yes.
We know that's our job. We know that's why we're here.
Right.
We are the vindicated word of God.
Amen.
You say, I'm vindicated? Yes. The scriptures talks about you. The scriptures testify of you. You took the book. You ate it. You're the one, he said, turn around and testify again. You're going to prophesy. He's talking about you. Do you realize when you get over there, they're going to be amazed at you. You think, oh, this ain't nothing. This is the greatest, most important overcoming time there has been in the time of man. It's a miracle that you can believe God in this God-forsaken generation. When the fullness of Satan is on the scene, you're still standing. When Satan's throwing his best at you, you still come to church. When he throws everything at you, sickness, problems, troubles, the world, the order, everything, he's throwing it, he's throwing a book at us. Whether you know it or not, he's throwing a book at us. But as much as, Don said, 200 million demons, all of that's loose on you. But somehow, you're still holding on. Somehow, you still believe in God. Somehow, you have found the final voice to the final age. Somehow you've come to the last message under a prophet that they tried to destroy and cover up. Somehow through all of that unbelief, you believed. When everything else fell apart, you kept pushing.
When all your friends said it ain't worth going anymore, you kept pushing and pressing towards the mark. You were ordained to do so. And when we get over there, they're going to look at you just like you're going to look at them. You're going to say, how in the world did you do it? They're going to say, how in the world did you do it? And it's going to be the same answer for us all, by the grace of God. So if you believe this word, thank God.
Amen.
You are stronger than you even give yourself credit. You are more powerful than you even give yourself credit. To walk on this earth in this hour with the revelation that you have, that's a miracle in itself. The vindicated word of God. You are the vindicated word of God. God bless you, Jay. I enjoyed that. Now we've got little Bethlehem here. It's good to see you here. Good to have you here. We miss your pastor, but anybody want to say anything? They took the mics and ran tonight. You want to say anything? You can't come this far and not say nothing. Brother Larry, you want to say something? Anything? All right, somebody take a mic back there. That'll make it easier. They're thinking they don't want to holler. You don't need a mic?
I thank God for...
There you go.
For saving me.
Amen.
I may have come late, but I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Man on the cross next to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He come late.
That's right. Yes, he did.
Him. I'm still going to go on.
Amen.
I'm going to praise him until my time comes.
Yes, sir.
Well, I am one of them.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Better late than never. I appreciate Brother Larry, and I appreciate little Bethlehem, y'all coming and joining us. It's good to have you here tonight. Now, y'all already had y'all announcements. You know what's coming up. Let's sing something, and we're going to get back out of here. I'm so glad that I could say I'm one of them. We can find that, one of them. It's in the Only Believe.
Amen.
Brother Mike keeps sneaking in and don't say nothing. I see him back there. Okay. Amen. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Amen.
Now remember Trevor in your prayers.
Amen.
We're you know what? Sometime is good, like Brother Don said, not to know all the details. Because we can pray and not have all the distractions of what the doctor says and what it looks like and what... Let's not worry about that. Let's hold to God's word.
Amen.
He said, by his stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
That's what the word says. So that's what I'm going to stand on. And I'm going to hold right there. And I'm going to pray. And I've been praying all day. And I'll pray tomorrow. And I'll pray until I see him face to face.
Amen.
Amen. So keep Trevor in your prayer. And Tina, just pray for her. She's a mom. And just remember the family, because they go through it. You know, Dwayne's going through it. They're going through it. But you know what? We can stand as believers.
Amen.
And ask God to touch and send Satan on his way. Amen. So keep him in your prayers. Come back on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and let's see what the Lord has in store for us. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fills and fills them that made them flee. It is burning in my heart. All glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of I'm one of them. Oh, my brother. Oh, come, my brother, sing this.